Welcome back to Living Our Breast Lives, a podcast not only about two women thriving with metastatic breast cancer, but also self-love, appreciation, and an overall awakening to this beautiful gift we call life. Each episode, we will be focusing on a different theme that will highlight each episode. Please don't forget to not only tune in, but to also subscribe and review. Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Living Our Breast Lives. It's just going to be Ren here today. I am actually doing a solo episode for the first time ever. As of recent, Living Our Breast Lives will be going in a slightly different direction. And so I will spend the majority of today's episode talking about, you know, that and of course other things. But first, I hope everyone is having a really great summer so far. I just recently got some fantastic news. My CT scan came back clear of metastatic disease, which has me at a whopping 3.5 years, no evidence of disease, and 4 years with MBC next week. And that freaking leaves me 5 years total in cancer land, which is unbelievable to say out loud. I know I'm a broken record at this point, but after everything that I endured those 4 years ago, I should say those 5 years ago, to be sitting here right now saying that is mind-boggling. And I actually do have a funny story. So, well, you know, actually it's not really that funny, but we all know how dark humor works at this point. So just roll with it. So when I was first diagnosed with MBC, I went to an appointment to see my oncologist. And for whatever reason, my husband couldn't make it to the appointment. I'm sure he was working or whatnot. So two of my younger sisters came with me to support. So I would assume, you know, that my brain was still like super foggy and probably in shock mode, because I asked her something about fertility. And I'm thinking back now that maybe it was most likely at the forefront because I had just frozen my eggs a year prior following my primary diagnosis. And so one thing leads to the next, and she blatantly tells me that fertility is no longer an option, which was the first huge blow, because anybody that's first diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, it's a whirlwind. Like, you have no idea what's up from down. And so hearing that there was going to be no possibility that I could birth my own child was, like I said, a huge blow. But then this woman proceeds with my prognosis, which I don't know why she thought that that was a good time to do that. But my prognosis was then given to me of only having 3 to 5 years to live as a triple negative thriver. So it's hard because obviously, like, to this day, that precise moment still traumatizes me. And I'm sure it still traumatizes my two younger sisters who were only 21 and 25 at the time, which aggravates me beyond belief. You know, as like an older sibling, you're very overprotective of your younger siblings. And I wish I could take that moment back for them. And I guess the only thing comical, maybe comical in like a dark, twisty way, but it's that it was given to me prior to PD-L1 testing and prior to starting an immunotherapy that was fairly new to the breast cancer world at that time. So I would say a pretty fucking bold statement for a medication with little to no data in the breast cancer world. So fast forward 4 years later, and I sit here at my most recent follow-up with that same oncologist. And when I tell you, she looks at me and admitted to being wrong. Now, it wasn't necessarily an apology, but her words verbatim were, "I was wrong, and I will be happy to stay wrong for hopefully many more years to come." So I sat there and I had like a wide range of emotions. It felt liberating to hear, but it also brings me back to the many episodes where we've talked about doctors and their freaking like wrongdoings and the bedside manner, or maybe I should say like the lack thereof. And, you know, at the end of the day, they are just people. They're not God. They make awful mistakes sometimes. I've seen it time and time again within my 5 years in cancer land. And then unfortunately, some have less compassion than others. And so, yeah, I mean, the only silver lining I can take from that experience is that we have to learn from them. And we have to pray that they learn from those mistakes as well, and that they're kinder to the next patient, and that maybe they think twice about how they give information as heavy as that to the next patient. That's all we can really hope for. So, long story short, I proved her wrong. I am already taking strides to outlive that awful prognosis she gave me while still on my first line of treatment as a metastatic triple negative breast cancer thriver. And not only that, but because I have now reached my 4-year mark, we're extending my scans from every 4 months to every 6, which is beyond me. And that was her idea. So that woman feels comfortable and confident enough to extend my scans by a whole 2 months each time. It's just surreal. I will continue treatment every 2 weeks, you know, where they'll monitor my tumor markers. But to think that my scan anxiety will only come twice a year is huge. And although I feel terrible that my sisters will most likely be scarred with that moment for the rest of their lives, at least they can look at their older sister now and see her thriving and see how well she is doing. And I think something like that outweighs everything else. So before I dive into some things, I wanted to take a quick moment and talk about the current segment that I have going on the Living Our Breast Lives Instagram page. So it's a get to know your community segment, which is awesome within itself. I would say it's definitely a lighter and even shorter segment from the ones that I've done previously. But what's cool about it and what's different about it is that I'm highlighting all walks of survivorship, which I've never done before. So I have previvors, survivors, and thrivers, and I'm freaking loving the diversity that it's bringing to Living Our Breast Lives. So for those of you that don't know, previvors are people with genetic mutations who have a very high risk of developing either breast and, you know, or ovarian cancer. And I think I've mentioned in past episodes, the two sisters, ironically, that were at the appointment with me, they have the BRCA1 mutation. But they also share the same CHEK2 mutation that I have as well. I've said in past episodes, I don't have the BRCA1 mutation, so I think I may be sitting in this position because of the CHEK2 mutation. So with that being said, you know, unfortunately, my sisters are in fact in that category of being high risk. Now, some of these people will take preventative measures to try and eliminate the risk of being diagnosed with either of these cancers later on in life. Survivors are those diagnosed between stage 1 and 3, also known as an early stage diagnosis. And then, of course, we have the badass thrivers diagnosed as stage 4. And this is where the cancer has left the originated breast area and metastasized elsewhere in the body, making it much harder to treat. And it even puts the label on it as incurable. This segment has been going really well so far. I'm super happy with it. I'm very pleased with the feedback I've gotten so far because it's giving our community the chance to connect with other people that are, you know, like sharing those similar struggles or experiences. And so it makes me feel really good. And I know for me personally, as I post each feature daily, it gives me that sense of relief that I'm not alone. So feel free to head on over to the Living Our Breast Lives Instagram page, check out the segment. And of course, thank you to all those who participated. I absolutely love seeing your beautiful faces on my page. And I'm sure that like your loved ones, your family, your friends, and then of course, like the people that are just closest to you, I'm sure that they love seeing your beautiful face on their Instagram as well. So moving into today's episode, it's a lot. I'm putting myself out there. I'm definitely vulnerable right now. These first, you know, 8 months of the year has taught me a lot about myself. It was a year of reflection, good and bad. And even taking it a step further, I started reflecting upon like past episodes from this year as well. And in doing so, I kind of came to the conclusion and realized that the majority of the 2023 episodes were really fucking heavy. Like, they were dark. They really cut deep. And honestly, some of them were even triggering for me. But on the other side of things, they were also real and authentic and validating and really true for what goes on in this space with little to no funding, like in the NBC world. And looking back, we had episodes with titles like Grateful for Survival, but what about the others? And another episode was like Making the Heaviness Lighter. Another one was When Cancer Doesn't End. It's not always the most wonderful time of the year. I mean, even the episode with all the emphasis on metastatic triple negative breast cancer with Stephanie, although a highlight, it was like really hard to record because I am sitting here with that exact same subtype. So all these episodes, I mean, they had the potential to resurface demons and past trauma that might have been suppressed for quite some time. And I'm going to be honest with you, like that's exactly what happened. To a T, I might add, episode after episode, I just caught myself talking about my mental health. And even though like of course, I've been seeing a therapist for quite some time, I could feel myself drowning and I didn't know how to make it stop. And it just became too much. I was like suffocating, essentially. And so when I really sat back to reflect, I knew that it was necessary for the community, but I know now maybe not so beneficial for like my own well-being and my own healing journey. And for a second there, it almost felt like the self-love, appreciation, and overall awakening to this beautiful gift we call life podcast introduction was just no more. And I really deeply feel like I've been missing that. Just the positivity, the hope, that self-love piece. Now, I don't regret recording these 2023 episodes because I know deep down how helpful they were to the community, and that makes me happiest. But at the end of the day, cancer is fucking selfish, and those fighting the beast have to be selfish at times too. And so if that means putting yourself first, then that's exactly what has to be done in whatever time of transformation. And I know the NBC community would never shame me for that. And for that reason alone, I do believe it's time for me to begin another healing journey for myself. And that right there feels liberating. So I wrote something recently that I, of course, would love to share with you all. It basically gives you a brief rundown of the first half of the year and just kind of like how I'm feeling right now in this precise moment. So somebody asked me what the biggest lesson was that I learned having been diagnosed with MBC. And I would say like there's been a shit ton of lessons, right? But just recently, I would say there's been one that's really stuck out the most and like hit me the hardest. So the biggest lesson that I have learned to this day has been about grief and trauma resurfacing and the idea that it can be handled in any way you see fit. And it started with the understanding that your brain isn't quite the same when you're in survival mode as it is like years later when you're trying to pick up the hundreds of broken pieces. But the biggest lesson of all is that everyone copes with grief and trauma differently, and that there is no right or wrong way to go about it. And I think that was the biggest lesson of all because there are some people who choose to live in a state of denial, which is sometimes the safer option because you obviously don't have to face those demons. Some people choose to turn their trauma into life lessons and they view it as this gift where they have the opportunity to learn from it and grow. And then there are some people who choose to face their triggers head on and they work through the pain by reliving that trauma. So it took me a long time to realize that all of these coping mechanisms can exist, every single one of them, because I personally have experienced all three, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one. And the best part is that all three of these variables, they can exist simultaneously, but it all depends on your personal stage of grief. What's best for you? Because that's all that matters at the end of the day. What is best for you and you only? For me, I was actually happier when I was in denial because things felt lighter. It's like when you're living this life with metastatic breast cancer, but thankfully doing well with like very minimal side effects from treatment, it's sometimes easy to look the other way and almost pretend. And I wanted so badly, I would say, to like almost create like two separate identities. One who was struggling with a stage four diagnosis and then one who wasn't. And that's exactly what I did. I almost like I wanted to go back to living a normal life so badly because I missed my old self. I missed the old life that I was living prior to cancer. I don't know if this was the healthiest approach. I mean, maybe not, but you know what? At that time, because that was the stage that I was in, it was exactly what I needed. And like selfishly, I almost wish that I could go back to that mindset now, because I'm sitting here with these like very rash mental health struggles, the dark reality of my lifelong situation. And it's because I opened that door. And once you open that door, it can never be closed again. And that shit cuts deep. Back then, when I was in that like almost sense of denial, I was even able to take it one step further and turn that denial into gratitude. I was experiencing what they call post-traumatic growth versus like the post-traumatic stress or PTSD. And I was seeing that like the value in the life lessons that the diagnosis taught me. And that's really hard to do, to take something so awful and find the silver linings and the positivity in it. And I had mastered it. And Brittany and I, we actually, we recorded an entire podcast episode on post-traumatic growth. And it was hands down one of the best and most liberating episodes I had ever recorded. I remember walking away from the episode just feeling almost like a rebirth. Like I just felt so good and proud of myself. And at that time, I appreciated my diagnosis for my growth as an individual because I was almost like learning to see the world from a lens that not many others could see or understand. It was like this secret world. And I was learning to live with the disease and not in spite of it. And it brought me to a state of acceptance, which is also unbelievably important when living with an incurable diagnosis like this. And that kind of leads me here. You know, it wasn't until this year and changes to the podcast that I started confronting these demons that I had been shutting out for so long. And I'm not going to lie, like at first I did find it liberating. I was finally addressing the trauma. I was diving into the harsh realities of my disease. I was openly discussing on the podcast the things that frightened me most because I thought at that time that that's what was needed in order to, and I'm going to put this in air quotes, properly heal. And granted, that might work for some, but it certainly doesn't work for all because in that moment, I found myself almost in a rock and a hard place because I was struggling so bad mentally, but I wanted to continue to help the community. And so I put my own personal triggers to the side almost and put the community's needs above my own. And it wasn't until now that I realized you can't help others until you help yourself, which is why I recently had this epiphany. And I did come to the conclusion that taking a break from the podcast is something that I personally desperately need for my well-being, for my mental health. I almost feel like I need more positivity in my life. And I realize now that, yeah, in the last 6 to 7 months or so, that absolutely has been missing from my life because it's been consumed with this dark rain cloud of cancer and all that it just fucking takes from you. And that's not a life. There has to be balance. There has to be some good days and some bad days. There has to be a life where you are not consumed all cancer, because cancer does not define you. It is a part of you. So here is my advice and my thoughts on all of this. You can be thankful for survival, yet you can also acknowledge how hard of a space this is to live in every single day, because it is hard. But both can exist, and both do exist. Give yourself grace and choose whichever coping mechanism works for you and you only. Protect your peace, because there is no right and there is no wrong answer. So with that being said, living our best lives will be taking a hiatus for a few months. Just to give you a timeline, I mean, I'd like to give myself a few months to heal, to properly heal the way that I want to heal, get my head on straight, and then have a fresh start all on my own. The Instagram segments will, of course, continue, especially for Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October. But for now, I will be putting down the mic. For those of you that have been with me since day one, you'll never understand the gratitude that I have for you guys, because starting a podcast is so damn frightening. But my day ones, the feedback that you provided me, you had me coming back month after month. And so I really do love each and every one of you. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, Living Our Breast Lives. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Living Our Breast Lives, where we will share Instagram segments, podcast updates, special dates, educational resources, and of course, health updates for those following the community's MBC journeys. Have questions, comments, or anything else you would like answered on our podcast? Send us a message on Instagram. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And as always, choose kindness. Someone may look fine on the outside, but you never know who's actually struggling on the inside. Until next time, don't forget to live your best lives. God bless everyone. Take care and see you in a few months.